Hola, Su. We naturally all bring a lot of habits to our meditation practice, to this retreat in particular. And one of them is the habit of coming home at the end of the day, maybe to a spouse or somebody living in where we live, and the person said, "How did your day go?" And then we describe it. Oh, the traffic was really bad, and my boss crabbed at me, and then I spilled my coffee. But then I had a really nice, pleasant conversation with somebody. And then this happened, and then that happened, and then that happened. And it was kind of a yucky day, but it was okay. It had some it kind of ups and downs. I think I've heard that before. Ups and downs. Who said that? That's called a hedonic evaluation of how the day went. What happened to you? And as we all know, and the older we get, I think if we're keeping our eyes open, the better we know, there's very little control we exert over what happens to us. The world is big, other people are other people, they behave as they want to behave. And so there's a hedonic evaluation. And we can do the same thing in meditation. How did the meditation go for the last week? Oh, ups and downs. Good 3 days. Then it really sucked. Then it's basically how it happened to you. How it happened to you. So I would like to give you a new phrase. Ask not what your meditation can do for you, but what you can do for your meditation. Consider that meditation means cultivation, right? Bhavana means to cultivate. So imagine a farmer going out into a field, a wheat field, and he's a wheat farmer, and he goes out, you know, when it's time just to till the soil and just tilling the soil and mulching it, fertilizing it, comes home at the end of a long day. "Honey, how did it go?" "It really sucked. I was just plowing and plowing, plowing. Not even one stalk of wheat in my hand. Not one. Just plowing, plowing, plowing." The next day, "How did it go, honey?" "Really sucked. I was just plowing, and then I was plowing some more, and then I sowed some seeds, but there was no wheat. I just gave wheat. I got no wheat back at all. It was really an awful day." And then a month goes by. "How did the day go, honey?" "Still waiting for the wheat. There's no wheat. Just these little green stalks. I don't know what to do with them. Good for the cows, I suppose. And no use in those little green stalks." And then finally, you know, 3 months later, he has a good day. "Oh, the wheat happened. Oh, fancy that." Okay. And so it's just all about cultivating. It's cultivating. So, at the end of the day, what happened to us is just what happened to us, but at the end of the day, both literally and metaphorically, all that really matters is how did we respond to what happened to us? Since what happened to us is so largely out of control. But how we respond to what happens to us is largely, at least has potential to be in our control. We can actually do something about that. So at the end of the day, all that really counts is how we respond to whatever life dished up, whether on the meditation cushion, between sessions, wherever we're going in 3 weeks. And so I'd like to give you an acronym. I think that's the word, acronym. And that is at the end of the day, or at the end of a day of meditation here, or at the end of a week when you come and see me, I'd love to hear you say, when I ask, "How are you doing? How did it go?" And you say, "I'm doing great." What does great mean? I'm gently, but relentlessly, easing and arousing tension. I'm doing great. I am great. I'm gently, but relentlessly, easing and arousing tension. That is, if you think that shamatha is just releasing tension, and I'm trying to turn it into chocolate pudding here, then lots of luck with that one. You're not dead yet, so you can't relax that much. You know. And so We hear from Tsongkhapa and so many of the classics going back to India that shamatha is like tuning a lute, tuning a stringed instrument. And so it's, first of all, as we know, in mindfulness of breathing. What do? It's releasing. I'm easing. First of all, easing. Breathing out. And then I'm breathing in and I'm arousing tension. That is, the ideal is not to be devoid of tension any more than a stringed instrument is to have completely slack, unstrung strings. It's easing and then tensing appropriately, arousing gently but relentlessly. That is, not just once in a while when you remember to do so, but relentlessly, but gently, relentlessly easing, first of all easing, and then arousing. And fine, and so you're just tuning that fine stringed instrument of your attention. So there we are for mindfulness of breathing. For settling the mind, it's again very similar. When you see that with introspection that your attention has fallen into excitation, what do? First of all, ease. You ease the tension. You don't get upset. You don't react. You don't recoil. You go, you release the tension, right? Releasing the grasping, which is releasing tension. But then you do return right to the immediacy of the present moment, and you arouse the attention of that as you are focusing. And likewise, when laxity occurs, you ease off the laxity, you release the laxity, the dullness, and then you arouse your attention and you return. Awareness of awareness. Well, we have the whole oscillation. You're very familiar with that. And so, gently but relentlessly easing and arousing tension. And of course, it gets finer and finer and finer until eventually you just get into a flow, whether it's mindfulness of breathing, settling the mind, or awareness of awareness, where you don't need to oscillate anymore. You don't need to think, now I'm going to arouse, now I'm going to relax. You just get into the flow. And then, because your attention is balanced, then you play shamatha. Right? Until then, you tune it. But when you're in the flow, then you play the music. You play the music, right? Because your instrument is well tuned. If it falls out of tune again, then you tune it back up again by gently but relentlessly easing and arousing tension until it's back in tune, and then you play it more. And the point of all of this shamatha within the, in terms of the big picture of spiritual practice as a whole, in terms of life as a whole, is that our spiritual practice can be played in the silent concert hall of the mind with fantastic acoustics and not have it relegated to background music, while OCD is really the drone that fills our minds. Okay? So, choose your method. Let's have one session.